So you make a decision, and the outcome reveals itself, and you say, I knew it. I knew that would happen all along. Sound familiar? Eggheads have a name for that. Outcome bias. And Dr. Cashy wonders, when judging the outcome of a decision, how do we incorporate logic and evidence, if at all? Or do we judge the situation based on the outcome? Do good outcomes always mean good decisions? Do bad outcomes always mean bad decisions? Does it matter? Let's talk about it. Roll the intro! Hello! Hello, and welcome to Coffee with Cashy. I'm your host, Dr. Trevor Cashy, and we have a beefy one today. So I'm going to try and bust through this as best I can. Thinking caps on. Lots of stuff going on, all right? We're adding to our little series, which might be a very large series, I guess, on how and why the brain is wired to be lazy, oversimplified, and what you can do about it, all right? In a previous episode, Dr. Cashy had spoke of the outcome bias, sometimes maybe seen as the hindsight bias if you're into that sort of stuff, as one of his more irksome cognitive shortcuts, all right? Very irksome to Dr. Cashy, to say that very loud with an extra big mouth, right? So this is why we are putting a greater focus into it today. Again, real beefy, so be prepared. So let's do a little review here. What is the outcome bias? Well, have you ever heard or said variation of something like, I knew it was gonna happen. I knew it all along, right? That's that. I'm flinging my coffee around. This is exciting, all right? So judging the validity of a decision or a person based on the result, rather than the validity of the decision based on logic, evidence, and reason it was based on. Then, often secondarily, using that opinion to create another opinion to position and reposition yourself and others. And I'm going to touch on a little bit of that too, right? So as a disclaimer here, the outcome bias or hindsight bias is a robust and repeatable phenomenon within humans in terms of solutions, like trying to fix it. It's important to know that Dr. Cashy thinks this is an ingrained way humans learn stuff, thereby making this more of a misappropriated tool, okay? This is something humans do more than something that needs fixing. It is, however, misused and when you are cognitively lazy, as it were, relying on that there impulsive system one brain to make final decisions. You'll divert to that faster and faster, growing your attention deficit, right? This means that outcome bias and Dr. Cashy's bias requires critical assessment and retooling more than it needs solving. This is, after all, an ingrained way people learn. So I want to get that out of the way, right? So let's look at outcome bias in a greater depth here. Everything makes sense when you look back at it, right? That's another way of describing hindsight or outcome bias. And that's part of what makes it so dangerous, because if you look back at something, you go, oh, no wonder it happened this way. That's like a combination of a bunch of biases, everything is, but that is a great way I like to explain it. And so this is kind of about judging the outcome based off of basically a patchy stories and information, right? This is disrespectful to yourself if you're using it to validate yourself and the decisions and outcomes that you have, and it's disrespectful to other people at a fundamental level. So if you remember Dr. Cashy's definition of self-respect, it means you separate a person from their thoughts and decisions, okay? The quality of the decision, importantly, and the person that did it, should be based on the reason that the decisions were made, the logic behind the decisions, and the validity of the evidence to substantiate it. For that reason, outcome bias, in my opinion, is the literal inversion of respect, because you are judging it based off of an outcome versus the reasons and the evidence and the logic, okay? For instance, a high-risk decision that turns out really well, oh my goodness, fabulous, right? A high-risk decision that turns out poorly, well, that's obvious. Of course it was poor. It was a high-risk decision, goofball, right? A low-risk decision that turned out poorly is punished. Like, how can you be such an idiot and mess up something like that so easy, right? And a low-risk decision that turned out well is normal. Well, of course it's supposed to turn out that way. It happens that way every time, okay? In effect, this means that people end up rewarding stupid decisions that turn out well and punish reasonable decisions if they have poor outcomes. The best decision can have a poor outcome. The poorest decision can still result in a cosmic accident of a good outcome. Okay? Tertiarily, people remember the cosmic accidents and then unfortunately can base their lives and decisions off of these stories, as in if one person can do it, then anybody can do it, especially me, because I am also special like this other person. Okay? Now, this cognitive shortcut creates this sort of intellectual sludge. I think survivorship bias, risk aversion, confusingly high rewards and praise for lucky outcomes, contempt and punishment for reasonable decision makers, labeling and stereotyping people, and last but not least, combining all of that nonsense to make you think you can prophesize the future. All right? And outcome bias, again, judging the quality of a decision or a person and or a person based on the outcome comes with three sidekicks, right? That's where the person part comes in. Labeling, stereotyping, and halo effects. These three sidekicks, all right, are where part of your judgment of the outcome comes with a side of a judgment of the person, right? This is kind of like a meta result of the outcome bias, a result of the result or a thought of the thought, an observation of the observation. That's what meta means to me, okay? This means that you assess the outcome and then assess the person, and the opinion you have of the outcome ends up being expressed as your opinion of the person. And this can be high or low, right? A person who makes a risky decision that turns out well, maybe they're considered a genius now. And so that is that meta sort of outcome. So in other words, your opinion of a person, including or especially you, is based on your opinion of an outcome generated by this completely arbitrary nonsense, okay? Here are some classic examples, right? Waiting to the last minute and then cramming it all in. Getting good reviews. I told you I worked best under pressure. Getting bad reviews. I'm a complete failure. That was a horrible idea. Imagine if I had more time, okay? A business owner taking a massive risk. If it turned out to be fortunate, the entrepreneur of the century, you better buy that stock. If it flops, well, of course it failed. Just look at the facts. What an idiot. Okay. A routine surgery that had a catastrophic outcome. That surgeon was dumb enough to risk a life with a procedure like that. Or a routine surgery with a favorable outcome. They do this sort of thing all the time. You never had anything to worry about. Of course it turned out fine. A complicated surgery with a favorable outcome. I chose the best surgeon. A complicated surgery with a catastrophic outcome. The risks were known. The surgeon should have known better. This is irresponsible malpractice, lawyers and anger and pointing fingers and stuff, right? So let Dr. Cashy leave you with this. A stupid decision that works out well is still a stupid decision. A good decision that works out poorly is still a good decision. Very important, okay? Very important. That's how you separate people from processes, okay? So let's explore the problem a bit deeper and how it impacts you. The self-esteem preservation aspects of outcome bias are important for you because it retards the development of character traits and mastery of key skills. Namely, a tolerance to your risk allergy, a tolerance to your frustration allergy, shrinking your attention deficit, thereby, and also improving your persistence and improving your brain force, allowing you to store away a little more of Dr. Cashy's violence, and developing your resilience response. By immediately making sense of an outcome, you preserve or boost your ego and fabricate certainty. This does three things, okay? Or it does two things, I guess, depending on how you look at it, all right? You start using your self-esteem as currency when making decisions. You start using your self-esteem as currency, many of which are heavily influenced by confounding variables, especially luck. So if you keep the outcome connected to the person and luck is always included, well, then bad luck can then therefore create a bad person. And that might be you, all right? This literally gambles away your self-esteem and gambles away the esteem that you may have for other people. And number two, you rob yourself of the ability to purposefully learn from any experience. And this goes for positive or negative experiences. Additionally, and this is like the third optional one in terms of learning, is that by neglecting the impact that luck has on an outcome, even the most basic and routine decisions risk you learning from something that's really an erroneous reconstruction of what happened. By you just kind of cobbling stuff together and saying, oh, that makes sense. Then you store it in your memory banks of like, yep, I learned a thing when you're learning something from a completely fabricated experience. Assuming that, for instance, that since a stupid decision turned out well, that it'll just continue to turn out well because that is the evidence you have, right? This reinforces stereotypes and halo effects, while also implanting a false sense of prophecy, making you feel like you know more than you really do. And that's how and why it leads into this cognitive toxicity of unmet expectations and that depression loop that we spoke about in the previous episode, 10 Ways Your Brain is Wired to Be Lazy and Oversimplify. Okay, so in short, heavy doses of outcome bias give you artificially high levels of certainty in the future. Okay, especially if they reinforce something that you thought of earlier, right? They give you artificially high levels of certainty for the future, and being certain of the future means you have a level of certainty in your expectations. And the more certain you are of your expectations, the more toxic it is when your expectations are violated. So when your expectations are cemented in your brain based off of complete nonsense, well then chances are those expectations are going to be violated in an extra nasty, violent way, which then can set off that cascade of that depression loop that we spoke about earlier and totally impact the way you make decisions possibly for the rest of your life, okay? So what the heck do we do about this? Okay, Dr. Cashy thinks that mitigating outcome bias and the turning on of that rational brain of yours requires three things. We're gonna bust out the whiteboard of wisdom here. Pretty straightforward stuff. Requires three things. It requires fundamental knowledge, technical knowledge, and objective-ish narrative knowledge, right? And I'll explain all these things, right? In this context, Dr. Cashy defines fundamental knowledge as an understanding of the laws governing a situation. Technical knowledge as an understanding of the nuances governing the laws, okay? And then objective-ish narrative knowledge as a heavily stocked factual account of how the situation progressed, okay? So a lot of stuff going on here. It is only under these circumstances you can really appreciate how much luck plays a role in even the most routine circumstances. So if you have strong knowledge in the fundamentals, like you have all the book knowledge, then you have strong understanding of the technicals, you have all the working knowledge, and then you have objective knowledge of the narrative, you have the whole story, right? If you have all those things, that's a lot of stuff. And then you subtract it, you're left with luck. You're left with luck. Okay, and then that's how you know how much luck impacts a normal everyday decision, even in the most routine circumstances. I hope that makes sense. So at this point, this is how Dr. Cashy thinks you can show the greatest level of respect to yourself and other people by making the fairest, constructively critical assessment of a decision, regardless of the outcome of a decision. Okay, regardless of the outcome. For that reason, Dr. Cashy prefers constructively critical assessments more than he prefers thoughts and opinions. Thoughts and opinions, all right? It is impossible to ever have a fully complete story. This is why some level of expertise is important if you're inclined to come to a logical conclusion about an outcome, right? Using your impulsive type 1 brain prompts you to prophesize people and outcomes, trying to make sense of what has happened in the past, thereby providing certainty for what will happen in the future. Right? I knew I was going to get a bad grade on this test. I am dumb. This class is going to be horrible. Right? On the other hand, this might be the only way to learn from a mistake. But, big but, right? You have to employ your rational brain instead of your impulsive brain. Using your rational system 2 brain prompts you to analyze processes and proof. Okay, learning from what has happened in the past, informing your decisions in the present. So instead of taking from the past and applying it to the future, you're analyzing data that you've got from previous decisions, and then you are using it to inform your decisions right now, right? Being constructively critical of the past informs your decisions in the present, right? Removing the prophesizing from this. So to judge rationally, you have to actively determine the difference between the outcome and the assumption and show respect to yourself and others by separating the process and the person, updating your internal data logs, and then use that to influence your decisions reasonably, logically, and factually, right? So we're going to summarize all this, covered lots of stuff, so I'm going to try and make it a little more concise here. Bunch of points. If you are cognitively lazy, you will oversimplify in excess through bias. This creates a strange dependence on the impulsive system 1 brain to make decisions, thereby crippling your functional intelligence. The bias we learned about in greater detail today was the outcome bias, or hindsight bias, depending, where you have a tendency to evaluate the quality of a decision and thereby the people who made the decision, including you, by virtue of the outcomes instead of a rational deconstruction of the process using reasons, logic, and evidence. Outcome bias is often in conjunction with labeling and the halo effects and stereotypes where, yes, you determine the quality of a decision based on the outcome, but you also probably determine the quality and characteristics of a person, including you, as a result of the outcome. This means that you are using self-esteem and the esteem you have for others as currency, literally gambling it away. When it comes to situations involving you, the more familiar you are with something, the more likely you are to anchor the outcome to the information you know. And this gives you the illusion that your guess was closer than it really was. When devoid of critical thinking or appropriate feedback, this is damaging because it makes it impossible to learn from a legitimate mistake, right? If you're just making sense of it immediately instead of critically analyzing it to apply it to your decisions in the present. Now, when it comes to situations involving other people, gaps in your narrative knowledge, gaps in your technical knowledge, and gaps in your fundamental knowledge lead to the most polarizing opinions on the outcome of a situation, and unfortunately, opinions of the people involved. But let's put it this way. I think we've all seen some very strong opinions from people about things that they know almost nothing about. And that includes you and me, you know? Okay? So your impulsive brain, this is what happens, okay? You create a convenient story of the past. You label people in the present, including you, and then you prophesize the future based off of the convenient story and the labels you give people. It prophesizes the future by combining your stereotypes of others and yourself and your newly fabricated account of the past. Quite the crystal ball, right? For that reason, Dr. Cashy thinks by and large, the more you know about the narrative, the fundamentals, and the technical details, the more likely you can show respect for yourself and others by separating people and processes and people and outcomes, thereby drafting a fairer, constructively critical assessment of the decision-making process. And this is because there's a greater understanding of how luck influences the outcomes. All right. So in all cases, so this is what I'm going to leave you with here. In all cases, you were updating your previous knowledge. The difference, however, is whether that software update improves the performance of your hardware. You are always updating your previous knowledge. The difference, however, is whether that software update improves the performance of your hardware. So in conclusion here, ridding yourself of bias, at least for now, is impossible. In fact, Dr. Cashy thinks the more you try and suppress or eliminate it, the worse it gets. And ironic process theory dictates that sort of progression. He does think, however, with self-awareness and a rational approach to constructive critical assessment, you can see that bias, recognize it, respect it exists, and then plod on rationally anyway. So if you're interested in learning from your decisions from the past to inform your decisions in the present, then tell Dr. Cashy by sending him a message and leaving him a comment. He gets back to all of them. Want to continue having coffee with Dr. Cashy? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. Thank you, and see you next week. Dr. Cashy is out!